Joel's a bit angry with me because I arrived 14 minutes too early to record the podcast and he was still in his dressing gown. And instead of like opening the door to me, he ran upstairs.
I had to get my keys.
Oh, I had to get his keys. Yeah. That's fair enough, actually.
There I wasn't running away.
Yeah, I thought you were running away. I banged again. I was like, but Joel.
I was checking to see if it was you or the postman when I looked at the door.
And you were disappointed.
Well, you haven't got any parcels for me.
No, I haven't got any parcels.
You haven't got any checks. Nothing.
You don't get checks and parcels in the post.
I do. That's the only things I get. And junk mail.
And bills.
Oh, yeah, bills. Yeah, I tend to not think about those.
No, exactly. Why would you, eh? It's depressing. So, it's a bit cloudy, isn't it?
Well, I'm glad that it's cloudy, because that prevents you from starting the podcast by saying, "The sun is shining, I'm Alan Partridge, aha!"
I hadn't even thought about it as an Alan Partridge type thing.
I think it's just the addition of the phrase, "We're in Norwich."
We are in Norwich, I mean, that's
there's no getting around that.
No, there is no way of getting around it, but yeah, so here we are. And it's been another exciting week in the news, isn't it?
I imagine so, yes.
It probably has been, yeah.
It normally is. They normally find something. There's never a week where there isn't news. They never come out and just say, nothing this week.
No one just comes out and shrugs. And they go,
that's the French news. There's not much going on.
Sarkozy. They probably say Sarkozy.
They probably do on the news sometimes.
He was the interior minister before he became the president, wasn't he? Interior minister.
What a fascinating anecdote. Wonderful anecdote.
Okay, I was going to go somewhere with it. Never mind. Brilliant. Just carry on shooting out on my ideas. I don't feel like we're working together as a team today, Joel. I feel there's a wall of animosity that you've created, that you've put up there. I've done nothing wrong apart from arrive 14 minutes early, and it's got the whole thing off to a bad foot. I bought you a croissant. You don't like croissants. Fair enough.
It's
fair
just enough. A series of unfortunate mistakes. You're a lot like the Palestinians in this situation. Well, you just made a series of unfortunate, unplanned mistakes, and I've erected a huge wall as a result.
You have, yeah.
You're not acting in a coherent, joined-up way, you know. You don't have one governing authority.
Well, no, we've got the government, and I've got... What? I've got a terrorist group, and they're vying for attention in my head. I'm a schizophrenic. No, that's bad.
So welcome to just looking Luke Wright practice being spontaneous.
Yeah.
It's not a sunny day, as we've already established.
No.
Luke is schizophrenic, as we've already established.
Yep.
And you wanted to talk about Nicolas Sarkozy. Go on.
He used to be the interior minister, and we don't have an interior minister, do we?
Well, we've got Home Secretary, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the same sort of thing. Mm. We used to have an interior ministry, and we obviously changed the name. I seem to recall we used to have a minister of the interior, didn't we? That's what Cardinal Wolsey was. He was minister of the interior, and he was Lord Privy Seal as well. Have you heard that advert on, I think it was on Radio 4, about with Quentin Letts is going to investigate, what's the point of the Privy Council? And it has the sort of, and that's sort of the end. And Quentin Letts asks, what's the point of the Privy Council? Good old Quentin Letts. I hate Quentin Letts.
Who is Quentin Letts?
Well, Quentin Letts is a journalist, I guess.
A journalist fart,
yeah. He's like a long, slow, flatulent fart, yeah. Not a flatulent fart, that was a tautology.
That would be a fart that itself farts once it's out in the open.
A self-perpetuating fart.
Oh God, what a thought.
Mm. But he, interestingly enough, he wrote a column, not so that I was first made aware of him, because he wrote a column about Jackie Smith when she did, she had to fill in for the Prime Minister at Prime Minister Questions Times.
Yes.
I don't know, about sort of six months ago, something like that, and he wrote this big sneery article basically going, oh, look at her, look at the stupid woman trying to do the man's work. And actually everybody else was like, she did really, really well, she did quite a good job. And I led me to the conclusion that Quentin Letts was a nasty right-wing, bigoted misogynist, and I hate him, but I don't really know anything more about him than that. He might be really, really
except
nice.
Except that he's puzzled about what the point of the Privy Council is.
Mm-hmm. What's the point of the Privy Council? Mm. He's some kind of a journalist. But Jackie Smith is who I wanted to talk about today. Nicolas Sarkozy. Jackie Smith.
You've led us on a merry dance to get there, but Jackie Smith, here we are.
It wasn't really that merry, was it, Joel? It was quite...
You've led us on a dance.
Dull, a moribund dance. Jackie Smith is the Home Secretary, as we know. First Home Secretary not to be trusted with all of the home. basically. They basically said this, well, you can be Home Secretary, but we need to get a man to do all the justice stuff.
She's more of a home help.
Yeah, home help, basically. They got her in. But people don't like Jackie Smith, do they? And I want to work out why that is. If we achieve nothing else with this podcast today, I want to know why people don't like Jackie Smith.
Okay, well, let's look at examples of times when Jackie Smith has received a lot of criticism and see if there's any kind of linking factor between them.
Yeah, okay, so right.
What things has Jackie Smith run into trouble about?
Well, she ran into trouble quite recently about the thing actually that was the same week as the Quentin Letts article was she went out, walked around Hackney, and the police said to her, wear a bulletproof vest. And so she wore a bulletproof vest and everyone just went, look at her, what does that say about our country if our own home help can't go out without wearing a bulletproof vest? And she came in with a lot of flack for that. And her response was, well, I was told to wear it. Now, you've got to look at it in another situation. Did you mean told to wear it? She didn't wear it, okay?
How arrogant is she? How arrogant she's a superhero. Is she?
Yeah, exactly. So she can't win in
that
situation.
Well, I think what she's done wrong there is listen to the police. That's obviously the thing that people don't like.
Fuck the police is what she should have said.
Basically, we want the Home Secretary who's a member NWA. Or former member of NWA.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Dre. Yeah.
Which Jackie Smith simply is not.
Yeah, he's not. She's nothing like Dr. Dre, actually. She's very different from
Dr.
Dre.
Like Eazy-E.
Yeah, she's not. She's more like Beanie Man.
Beanie Man. Or Scatman John.
Scatman John. Wasn't Scatman John like a middle-aged white fella, little man? He looked a bit like...
I was imagining him looking a bit like Eddie the Eagle, but he probably didn't.
Yeah, no, I think he did.
Oh, okay.
I think he did. I've got... Shall we try and find a picture of Scatman John? And we can put it on the podcast.
I don't agree with that.
You don't, you've got a real problem with that, haven't you?
No, don't agree with that. I don't think people should have to look at anything when they're listening to a podcast.
He does look a bit like Eddie Eagle. He's got a big moustache.
He does look like Eddie Eagle.
He looks a bit cooler than I imagined him, actually. I thought he was born in California. He was Californian. He died. He died in 1999. Scatman John is dead.
Age 57.
Oh.
How did he die? He just finally scat himself out.
Scat himself to death. Yeah, his real name was John Paul Larkin. Larkin around.
At his funeral, do you think someone gave a eulogy where they just stood up at the front and said, John was a good man, he was a kind man, a talented man, but above all, he was a scat man. Join us all, please, in the song that he requested.
Well, I mean, it actually sounds like he started off life as a genuine person before becoming a great stupid...
Most people do start life as a genuine person.
Okay, so he's born in El Monte, California. He suffered from severe stutter since he started talking, which led to an emotionally traumatic childhood. Even at the peak of his success in 1995, journalists reported that during interviews, he hardly finishes a sentence without repeating the phrase at least 6 or 7 times. At the age of 12, he began to learn piano and was introduced to the art of scat singing at 14 through records by Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong, amongst others. The piano provided him with a means of artistic expression to compensate for his speech difficulties. He remarked in a 1996 interview that playing piano gave me a way to speak. I hid behind the piano because I was scared of talking. He became a professional jazz pianist in the 1980s and 1970s, playing in many gigs and jazz clubs around Los Angeles. In 1986, he released the self-titled album John Larkin on the Transition label, copies of which are now extremely rare. He claimed to have had hundreds of them lying around in his closet at home. Around this time, alcoholism, predictably, and drug addiction were also becoming to take hold of his life. When fellow musician and friend John Farrell, who had also had a drug problem, died of bone cancer in 1986, Larkin decided to beat his habits. He eventually did so, largely with the help of his new wife Judy, also a recovering alcoholic. You have talent, she told him. I'm going to make something out of you. This is the birth of Scatman John.
So hang on. Yeah. So,
so that was all very serious, the first part of his life, wasn't it? That was
She talked him out of drug addiction and alcoholism.
To become a Scatman.
Creating Scatman John. Up to that point, it sounds like he'd been quite a serious musician.
Yeah, he was very serious.
He'd overcome...
Complete with the drug addiction and the alcoholism, which made him a doubly serious... And then, to advance his career in 1990, he moved to Berlin, Germany. That's not explained. There should be a little citation thing here.
Oh, Wikipedia, you've let us down again.
From there, he discovered appreciative jazz culture and started playing jazz gigs. Here, he decided to start singing his act for the first time. Inspired by the standing ovation he received, a rendition of the song on the sunny side of the street. Soon after, his agent, Manfred Zaringer from Icebird Records in Denmark, thought of combining scat singing with modern dance music and hip-hop. I love... to be there when Manfred decided to go, I have an idea.
Is that a Danish accent?
Yeah, well, he's Well, he's German, isn't he? I'm presuming he's German. He's in Germany. He's in Berlin.
Yeah, but he's working for a Danish record label. And his surname is Zaringer.
Zaringer.
I think that's possibly Danish.
Well, the only Danish person I know is Sandy Tuxford, and she sounds like a posh English person.
Well, that's how you should do his voice then.
Hello! Welcome to the news quiz, and we should combine dance music and hip-hop sounds. With scat singing. I forgot what I was saying there.
Yeah. You were so into the impression. Yeah. It was going so well, which is, you know...
Doesn't sound anything like it, just sounds like... Hello! I'm Sandy Toxvick. Doesn't sound like that at all, does she? Okay, Larkin was resistant at first, but BMG Hamburg was open. Okay, so basically they were like...
The record label was like, yeah!
Hey man, we should start doing some scat over some hip-hop beats and dance music. And he was like... But I'm a serious jag, and they were like, too late. You didn't get your objection in quick enough. Larkin was mainly scared that listeners would realise.
I don't like it when it just refers to him by his surname because I keep thinking it's Philip Larkin.
imagine it is Philip Larkin.
When he did the voice, I then thought it was Gareth Gates. So this is this strange combination of people in my head now.
Larkin was mainly scared that listeners would realise he stuttered, so Judy suggested that he talk about it directly in his music. He recorded his first single, Scatman. Ski bap bop 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 bop. Ski bap bop.
Was that in the title?
Bop. Yeah.
So the title ski, was bat, Scatman, bop, brackets, bop, bop. Ski, ba, ba, bop, bop, bop.
A song intended to inspire children who stuttered to overcome adversity.
That was not clear.
It inspired me whilst on pills in my mate Hugh's living room to jump up and down and go, I fucking love this song, man, I fucking love it. This is that song all night. I remember my mate Scott brought his Dex to Hugh's party, which was a really stupid idea because, of course, no one respected their Dex. They just scratched the record and went, hey, look, I'm a DJ. Chicka, 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 chicka. And then, but all we played all night was the Scatman John record because it didn't like it. It had all this like American garage stuff. It was all like import and fucking rubbish. So we just played Scatman John and then put like Super Furry Animals on a huge CD player. But I listened to that a lot there. International success. In 1995, at the age of 52, he became a worldwide star. Sales of his debut single were slow at first, but gradually reached number one in many countries and sold over 6 million records worldwide. Crikey. Scatman, which charted quite highly across Europe, remains his biggest selling and most well-known song. Really? You don't surprise me.
Strangely, he couldn't follow up that.
He later followed up with a song, Scatman's World, entering the UK singles chart at number 10, which met lesser but still notable success, selling a million copies and charting highly throughout Europe. That sounds like this kind of single that people buy on the strength of the first one. And are disappointed with, because what happens to his next single? The second Scatman John album, Everybody Jam, was released in 1996. While nowhere near as successful on international level as his debut, the album and the accompanying single took off in Japan. Of course it did.
Graveyard of novelty pop.
I'm not surprised, because it included the hit single Su 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 Super Super Kiri.
That may be a translation.
And pre-scat. He should get off the whole scat thing. I mean, I think he's covered the subject of scat already. He should start scatting about some other subjects. You can't scat about scat all your life.
That's true.
You can't rap about rap all your life.
Mm,
you can't write poems about being a poet. You can't just write songs about being in a band. It gets boring after a while, hence art.
Well, it's the old second, third album problems. You know, a band gets to a certain point where the only inspiration they have is their daily life as a band, especially if they're a successful band.
So anyway, that was Scatman John. We didn't read the end of his career, so I'm sure there's going to be some sort of trip back into alcoholism at the end.
We will get angry letters if you don't read out the entire Wikipedia article.
In 1999, he released his third and final album as Scatman John, called Take Your Time. It was later revealed that he'd been battling ill health since late 1998. Continued to work in the illness, but being told to take it easy from a substantial workload. He was later diagnosed with lung cancer and soon went into intensive treatment. He maintained a positive attitude throughout, declaring, whatever God wants was fine by me. I had the very best life. I've tasted beauty. He died in Los Angeles, in his Los Angeles home, on the 3rd of December 1999.
Well, I'm really glad you read to the end. You're right, that was a hilarious punchline, wasn't it, to the Scatman John story? In no way have you humanised a previously comic character and prevented us from saying anything funny about him, for danger of it seeming callous. I'm glad we persisted.
Well, I think what's particularly sad is that he only achieved his success in 1995 and died in 1999. At the end of 99, he got all of it in, pretty much.
He was there in the mid-90s.
He was there in the mid-90s.
The height of human culture.
Yeah, sort of paddling against the tide, basically. Everyone was creating dance music. He was the only person out there, to my knowledge, combining dance, hip-hop and scat. Good old Scatman John. So let's hear it for him.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Just give him a clap. What,
the sarcastic two-person round of applause.
No, 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 I'm okay.
See, that just sounds bloody died of lung cancer. You can't not belittle a man's life by giving him a sarcastic round of applause.
Worldwide, and yet I think it's suitable to give him a red tattoo. I'll be a truly fitting epitaph.
Two twats giving him a sarcastic round of applause.
You're not a twat, Joel.
One twat and one prick giving him a sarcastic round of applause on an unlistened to podcast in a strange corner of the internet.
Right, good, excellent. So, Jackie Smith.
Jackie Smith, Scatman Jack.
How did we get on to, Jackie, how did we get on to Scatman John from Jackie Smith?
That's a good question. If anyone knows how we got into Scatman John from Jackie Smith, send us an email.
Oh dear God. So Jackie Smith, well, Quentin Letts has been particularly mean about Jackie Smith about 8 months ago. It's not really important now. Jackie Smith, good thing or bad thing, Joel?
Jackie Smith herself, what, her existence in the world?
Yeah.
Good thing.
Good thing.
I think if she did not already exist, it would be necessary for us to create her.
And that's a right kerfuffle, isn't
it? Oh, yeah, it's a hassle. Yeah,
it's expensive as well. But she got a lot of flack as well for the MP's expenses thing when it found out that her husband had watched two porno movies and they'd been claimed for. Now, I think people have been unfair towards Jackie Smith.
So the two things we've identified so far is listening to the police and having a husband who watches porn.
Yeah.
Again, against her wishes.
Exactly. Do you think if she'd like found out, she would have gone, well, I'll claim for that, definitely, but I'll tick him off later. Like, of course not. Like, I mean, obviously some little aide did it for her, you know. Yeah.
Somehow.
It could have been a great big, you know, hulking, lumbering aid. Yeah.
Jackie Smith has AIDS.
She does, yeah. as the President of the United States has AIDS, yeah. So that's not really her fault. I mean, she got into loads of trouble for that and she claimed to be arrogant. Arrogant Smith has porn watching husband. It's arrogance, and it's arrogance to have a porn watching husband. Gaunty probably had a few things to say about that.
Oh, Gaunty?
Yeah, Gaunty.
Who's Gaunty?
Gaunty's John Gaunt. He's a columnist for The Sun.
Gaunty. Gaunt is not the kind of surname you can add a Gaunty. Jovial E to the end.
Yeah, everyone calls him Gaunt. Well, he calls himself Gaunty. Yeah, which all the more worried. He calls him Gaunty. Mm. And as John Osborne says in his excellent book, Radiohead, he says, Gaunty claims to say what we're all thinking, but he doesn't. If he did, it'd be very bad radio. It would just be, I hate John Gaunt. I hate John Gaunt. I hate John Gaunt. Because I hate John Gaunt. He's awful. He's horrible. He's a horrible fucking nasty piece of fucking work. I really hate him. I really actually hope he dies.
This is a journalist, yes?
Yeah, he's a journalist.
What newspaper did he write for?
The Sun.
The Sun.
Yeah,
the
he's a columnist for The Sun. I wouldn't call him a journalist. I think that's doing him a service that he doesn't deserve.
Bile merchant.
Yeah, he's a fucking horrible piece of work. Honestly, if he died, the world would be a much better place.
Is he the new Little
place.
John?
Yeah, he's a bit like, he's like, Little John's a bit high brow now that he's with the Mail, do you know what I mean? Little John's a bit literary. You know, I read Little John, I don't understand what he's saying anymore. I wish you'd be more didactic and straightforward. Look at him being all
the
coy.
It's a broadsheet. It's cute, isn't it?
It's not. It's
Britain's number one quality newspaper.
Yeah, it's fascism and it's Sunday best.
Inserting the word quality into their own description of themselves is a sad stab at respectability.
Oh dear. So Little John's over there. So Gaunty's the new Little John in The Sun, basically. And he's disgusting. He's like this. He really is vile. I didn't see funny to say about him. He should die. He should be killed. He should suffer a long, painful death.
You could give him the death that Scatman John clearly didn't deserve, and, you know, make Gaunty suffer for all those years through alcoholism and ill health and
having to compromise
his art to find fame and being unhappy with that implicitly.
Yeah.
Would you do that and have Scatman John writing for The Sun?
Definitely, yeah.
I'd read a Scatman John column.
He could put some messages.
Music reviews kind of thing.
We should just do it anyway. I mean, okay. In his name.
Scatman John reviews the hits.
Yeah. and they have to be scats, but written down, which is not the best medium for scats.
You don't think?
Yeah, I'd say they're more performance poems than page poems.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I think being written down adds a kind of lucidity to a scat. that it really benefits from.
The scat is a great literary form. It's quite find its way on the page. So, so Jackie Smith, you know.
She listened to the police. She allowed her husband to watch pornography behind her back.
Yeah, she allowed him by being weak. Typical. She can't manage her own home. What's she going to do with the home?
The home, where we all live.
No, she's fine. So what else did she get in trouble for? She was in trouble for... I mean, she's been beleaguered, isn't she? I just know her as the beleaguered Home Secretary, Jackie Smith.
Generally, that adjective follows her around.
Yeah. I said that to you earlier on, you went, good, and walked out. You were angry with me at the time.
I wasn't angry.
You weren't angry.
I was hassled.
You were hassled. You were ruffled. Because I turned up 14 minutes. 14 minutes early.
14 minutes.
14 minutes. That's the kind of welcome you can expect from Joel Stickley if you arrive 14 minutes early.
14 minutes.
So, what would you like to talk about today then, Joel?
Well, I was planning on deciding on my subjects to talk about today in the last 14 minutes before you arrived. Unfortunately... for some reason, that didn't happen.
It's like I needed medical attention when I arrived, and I didn't arrive on your doorstep like with a stab wound.
I've got a croissant.
I didn't know where else to go. I said, "Hi, Joel. Sorry a bit early. I bought you a croissant," and you just went,
That I would have been more sympathetic to if you'd have arrived clutching at your abdomen with blood seeping through your fingers. They finally got me. I would have welcomed you in. I would have tended to your wounds.
I deserved it. I bring a dirty little rather racket.
But if you turn up just with a bag with two croissants in, less sympathy.
Well,
so next time, get yourself in.
We've established the fact that I'm not in the mafia.
I don't think we have.
I have been in the media.
Which is very similar.
But I'd be rubbish. I'd be Lukey the Squealer.
Not a good nickname to start your mafia career with.
Yeah, you'd be tight lips, Joel. Okay. Two people done it. Either it was Lukey the Squealer or Tight Lip Joel. It was me. I done it. I squealed. I would squeal, definitely. I'd squeal just for fun. I'd squeal about stuff that wasn't even true.
But you just literally squeal.
I just squeal. Like a little picky.
A scatting gangster. Is that scatting a niche gangster that's ever been filled in TV?
Scatman John does look quite like a gangster, actually.
He's wearing a kind of fedora. He has a large black moustache. Yeah, I think he could pass as a gangster.
Yeah, I think he is quite a gangster. He's got a big moustache, though, so he could also be a Nigel Mansell impersonator.
He'd be a rubbish Nigel Mansell impersonator.
Do you think... Yeah, Nigel Mansell never
He could do
stutter.
An impression of the engine. Ring 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 ring
ring. So, maybe we have a competition for our listeners. competition this week. Send in.
You're making this up as you go along, aren't you?
No. Send in your scats. We'd like.
Brilliant.
Drop us an MP3 of you scatting about Nigel Mansell. We'd like scats on the subject.
You can't scat about things.
You can scat
the
about
things. The nature of scat is that you don't use real words. Now that is a challenge. A kind of impressionist scat.
An impressionist scat about Nigel Mansell. Nigel Mansell.
Do you want our listeners to use any kind of musical backing? Or just free-form scats?
That is up to them. I mean, I think some people will inevitably hide behind musical backing, but the genuine scatmeisters...
Put it like this, the hardcore a cappella scatters are more likely
to win.
Well,
they're more likely to win, but you never know, we might not get any genuine...
I think the 0-1 entries that we get is going to be most likely winner. If we get one entry, that's probably going to win.
Okay, what I'll do is I, too, will also record my own scat...
So you're going up against,
and I'll go up against it. And if anyone can beat me, we will send you a bit of Joel's wedding cake. It's Joel's wedding on Saturday, isn't it? That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
I'll save you a bit of Joel's wedding cake, and I'll send you that Joel's wedding cake via email. So if you can beat my scat, and I will be the judge. Okay.
Why can't I be the judge?
Okay, Joel will be the judge. Fine.
Brilliant.
Okay, you get to get married and be the judge all in 1 week. So,
oh no! What a week.
So I think we need some subjects to talk about.
Okay.
We're going to just edit this bit.
Yeah, I think so.
I know she didn't edit the word leather from last week's podcast.
And it was quite hard to get out all the leathers from last week's podcast. One of them was bound to slip through. There were a lot of leathers. I'd say that you said that word more than any other word last week, probably apart from and.
But actually, the context in which I said it in the podcast, what actually went out was me saying Tony Blair didn't want Caroline Duffy to be the next poet laureate on account of her being a big leather.
As if you were quoting Tony Blair.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's fine.
I didn't say at any other point. I didn't call her
leather. You kept saying leather, 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 leather.
I didn't
leather.
Say
you
it.
Did. You said leather many times.
I'm very pro leathers.
I know. You were saying it in a positive way, but still saying leather.
Oh, what should I call it?
I'm very pro-fag. I really approve of all the homos.
No, no, I think dyke and fag are opposites, as close to opposites as you'll get. You never get a total opposite. Mm. I don't like the fag. I think fag's very aggressive. It's very sort of hip-hop.
That's very American.
Fag.
You really realise I'm just going to lift that bit, that one thing you just said out, And put it in inappropriate places.
Yeah, and put it just after me saying a sentence like, I really like the phrase. Damn, I said it now. Damn, you can do that. No.
Or just put it at the end of the Scatman John biography. And he died of lung cancer in 1999.
Saying, fag, fucking fag. Anyway, and then, yeah, so I reckon those two. But I think leather is more like bender.
Bender.
Yeah. It's more comic, isn't it? I think
Bender's not in widespread use.
It's not. Neither is leather, really. Do you know what I mean? And today, kids, we're going to some street lingo. The first one you'll need is leather. If you ever meet Caroline Duffy, you have to say leather.
What's the silliest abusive term for a homosexual person? I'm going to nominate gaybo.
Gaybo? I didn't even gaybo. Gaylord.
Gaylord's good.
Gayer. Yeah.
Gayer. Gay. Gayer. Gayest.
You gayer. Oh, you gayer.
One who gays.
But I think Les is pretty stupid, isn't it? Or whether you get really silly ones like, you know, slightly ones that claim to be inventive, like rug muncher.
Uphill gardener.
Chutney ferret. So I don't like any of those. I think someone's thought too long. How can I make my homophobia more creative? I'm trying to impress a girl.
That was a girl speaking, right?
Yeah, another girl. Subjects. We need some subjects.
Well, should we look at the news?
Yeah.
ID cards.
Oh, yeah.
Recession.
This is quite good. US hateless DJ to sue Britain. A US radio talk show host says he will sue the British government for defamation after being placed on a list of people banned from it in the UK. Now, I know nothing about this guy, apart from that he's a conservative political commentator called Michael Savage. Yeah, real name Michael Alan Wiener.
Who chooses a surname Savage?
if your surname's Wiener.
You want to take small steps up. Go from Wiener to Ferguson or Jones, and then on to Savage,
or Pansy,
if you must.
Wiener to, he's called Wiener.
Savage.
But he's such a ridiculous figure. I've read no more than about a sentence about him. He's a really ridiculous figure. Look at him with his stupid fucking beard. He's made his entire life, yeah, on saying horrible things about other people, but, you know, hateful things, okay? Yeah, he's questioned cases of autism. He's described the Islamic holy book as a book of hate, yeah? So Jackie Smith, our hero, okay? He's described Jackie... Again, more criticism. He's described Jackie Smith as the lunatic Home Secretary of England. Now, he's got one thing wrong there, okay? Because it's not England. She's the lunatic Home Secretary of Britain.
That's her official title. Yeah. Jackie Smith, lunatic Home Secretary of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
No one slags off Jackie. She's ours. She's ours to slag off.
He's been accused of fostering hate because of, you know, yeah, the fact he's been quite outspoken, you know, against the gentle faith of Islam. And his statement that he's released to try and rebut this is, calling me a murderer is to put me in league with Hamas murderers who kill people on buses. Like, it's a good idea when defending yourself against charges of hate crimes not to include racial slurs on references to, you know, Islamic extremism while you're doing it. That is going to make people think that you're a broken record to a certain extent.
I love this. Mr. Wiener has defended many people in the US with his views on immigration, Islam and rape.
Now, if you offend people with views on rape, does that mean that you're pro-rape? it's quite hard to offend. Everyone's on the same page on rape, I would have thought.
I mean, yeah.
Everyone's anti-rape, aren't they?
I think everyone's anti-rape, apart from rapists.
Oh, God, rapists love rape, don't they? That's just one of the things they love. They love gherkins, gherkins and Marmite sandwiches.
Yeah.
And they love loose women on ITV, and they love rape.
Yeah. Loose Women's a rubbish show, isn't it? Have you seen it before?
It's just there for rapists, really.
Oh, God. Anyway, so so he angered the parents of children with autism by saying most cases were a brat who hasn't been told to cut the act out.
Brilliant.
You're not making any friends here, wiener.
Going to criticise kids in wheelchairs as being a bit lazy. Someone should tell them to stand up.
Well, what annoys me more than someone like, this man's clearly a bit ill. Okay, but what annoys me even more is that people just go, hey man, we should give this guy a radio show.
He's saying what we're all thinking.
Are you? Well, I don't know.
But I think it after he said it. Evening Standard this week have relaunched themselves because they're under new ownership. So they've come out and said, just without anyone prompting them, we apologise. We're the Evening Standard. Obviously. We apologise for everything we've ever done. And as far as I can see, the public response has just been a little bit baffled.
Yeah, they're going, what?
It's like someone turning up at your house, knocking on the door, and them going, I am so, so sorry. You go, have we met? I'm not sure I know what you're...
I've never read your newspaper. I'm certainly not going to announce. Sounds rubbish. The Evening Standard was owned by the same people who owned the Daily Mail.
Yes.
Yeah, and
Mail Group, I believe they're called.
The Daily Mail Group, and it was widely sort of thought that like Paul Darcer, anyway,
I don't know.
The edit guy in the Mail was basically told the Standard what to write, and they were kind of in their pocket. It was all sort of part of like the Daily Mail kind of, brainwashing of the nation. So hopefully with this new takeover, it's not going to be like that. Maybe it'll be like a really sort of lovely hippie newspaper.
So do we know who owns it now? Do we know what their track record is? I mean,
should we find out? Should we find out about the Evening Standard? Should we sort of do it?
What does it say about the Evening Standard that they feel the need to apologise for their past behaviour and promise a bright new future when their new owner is an ex-KGB spy?
Well, you might be one of the nice ones. You might be the
one of the nice ones.
He stopped just because, guys, I feel really uncomfortable. What's going on here?
I don't know about you, but I have poisoned one too many diplomats. I'll have to buy a newspaper.
Yeah, I hope you're a diplomat, eh? So, let's look at his profile.
To claim a kind of new moral high ground when your new owner...
He looks like a scary fucker. Look at that fucking face of his. Look, he looks like he's been killed and brought back to life.
We were talking about Alexander Lebedev, if any lawyers are listening.
He's regarded as a highly intelligent and cultured man. He's got a stupid fucking face.
That's what you say about a Bond villain, though, isn't it? He is a highly intelligent and cultured man.
Yeah.
Look, I think we should probably talk about what we've learnt this week.
Okay, well, this week I've learnt that people should stop being so bloody mean to Jackie Smith, unless, of course, there was some reason everyone was being mean to her, which I missed.
I think we've identified two reasons. I think the moral that I'm taking away from this week's show are never listen to the police.
Yeah, and Jackie Smith's a bit like Mrs. Cooper, my Year 8 German teacher.
And never be Luke's Year 8 German teacher.
Yeah, because he probably got locked in a cupboard at some point. So if you've got any stories about Jackie Smith being locked in a cupboard, you want to do a scat about Nigel Mansell, or indeed Jackie Smith, a whole separate category there, email us on practicebeingspontaneous@gmail.com. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. I know I did, but I think that makes it all the more likely that you did not. Goodbye!